It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to study the Word of God. Please join me in reading the book of John, John chapter 10. We're going to begin reading with verse 25, and we'll end with the end of the chapter, verse 42. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us for the study today. Now, let's begin reading John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" And the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? And if ye called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, them blasphemest, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond the Jordan unto the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. Many resorted unto him and said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true," and many believed on them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study. Father, we thank you for your word, the power and the strength for salvation and for our very life comes from and through you. We praise you for your precious word that speaks to us. Please, as we look through these words today, through your word today, that it will speak to our hearts, that we'll know your way and will for our lives, and we can know exactly what direction we're to go in. You're the one that can give us wisdom. You're the one, Father, that knows tomorrow. We don't. And so you can prepare us today for tomorrow because of that. We thank and praise you again for the salvation you've given us by and through the cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus, your Son, died on the cross willingly for us, took our sins away, shed his precious blood. Thank you, Father. Please now that you will have all that listen come by faith and trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus, and Father as well, then begin that sweet walk. We're going to study today the joy of not being able to be plucked. I cannot pluck them out of my hand. Father, thank you for these verses of Scripture. Now please guide and lead us as we study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we return back to verse 25, Jesus says, "I told you, and you believe not. And the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." So we have two different examples here, two different times here that should bring us to the saving power of Jesus Christ. Number one is God's Word, and he says, "I've told you." And you know, I don't know how many times that you have listened to the program and how often you have heard me tell you about the Lord Jesus and the need to come to the Lord Jesus and him alone for salvation, to trust in him, come by faith to him. Don't don't trust upon your abilities or your works or your church membership, but upon the Lord Jesus himself. I told you, Jesus says here in verse 25, and you believed not. And then you have the works that I've done. I have done great works, great miracles that no one else can do. That shows as well that I am God. I am the Son of God. And so those two things, his word, I have told you, and never was a word that he had spoken that was a word that was ever contrary to anything that they were taught in the Old Testament. Yes, it was contrary sometimes to some tradition they were used to, and that's what is taught today. We leave out Jesus. It's hard to imagine that we can cover the Word of God. You can go into the church today, and any church, and you'll hear the Word of God read, and yet it seems to lack the convicting power. Well, it lacks the convicting power because they do not look for the Lord Jesus. We need to proclaim the Lord Jesus in his word. It is his living word. So there is no one else to proclaim than Jesus himself, because this is his living word. So if you teach it any other way, or if you have it taught to you some other way other than showing you that this is Jesus, then yes, the power of God will be gone and the convicting power will be missing. So please, that you take the word of God and listen to it very carefully, that you may come to know Jesus as your Savior. As we look here, who is he all talking to when we begin this section here? Again, I told you, you believe not. You know, I have the works, the miracles that I performed, yet you still don't believe. And it begins there in verse 26 now, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. Now we're going to stop right there just for a minute, and we need to look back up to see who is he talking to? How do you become his sheep? These people are not, ye are not my sheep. He's speaking to the Israelites. He's talking to the Jews, his chosen people. It's because, yes, by name, they are his, but not by their heart and not by their decision. And you see, no one was saved ever by works. Yes, they had to bring the offerings, the sacrifices, all those things were brought into the tabernacle, brought before God, but that was in obedience, not for salvation. Salvation was trusted in by faith. As they brought that sacrifice, salvation was brought, and it was come into the heart only by faith, and that's the only way. Now we need to trust in the Lord Jesus. We need to look to the Lord Jesus for our salvation. Please, only Jesus Christ. Let's look at who we're speaking to. We have two different verses of Scripture here that I want to show you. John chapter 10, verse 1, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The sheepfold, the fold, is speaking of the nation of Israel. Speaking of the Jews, God's chosen people. And he was telling them, as we've studied in the past, that we know without a question that he came clearly. He came, entered exactly the way his word said he would. But you see why they missed him? Because as is taught today, it was taught not correctly, not speaking of the Lord Jesus. If they would have talked about how that we're bringing this sacrifice because someday there will be a sacrifice that will take our sin away, the perfect sacrifice. God will send his son. We're told clear back with Abraham when he offered up Isaac. God himself, the scripture tells us. So you see, they were told then that at some time, some way, God would present himself down here upon this earth to pay for us. And he did that through his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection. And we know the importance, according to all the scripture of the Old Testament, that so clearly tells us about the saving power of his blood. All that was told very clearly. And we're told here that there's only one way that he come. But you see, because through the years they had stopped teaching what that was showing, what that represented. Well, it's the same way today. Instead of going to the Word of God and proclaiming the Word of God and teaching people Jesus. You know, Philip did that to the Ethiopian eunuch as the eunuch was traveling back from Jerusalem. He had been there to hear the Word of God. And Philip attached himself and he said, "You understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I except some man tell me, some man explain it to me?" And you know what he did? He took that same verses of Scripture out of Isaiah and he preached unto him Jesus. And that's what we must do today from our pulpits. We must tell people of the Word, the precious Word, and preach to them Jesus Christ. Please, that you see, salvation is by no other way but by the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have, as we come to us, as we look now to verse 16 of the 10th chapter, chapter 10, John 10, 16, "And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." That's the Gentiles, my friend. That's us. So yes, it's speaking to the nation of Israel, and will be calling for the Gentiles as well. It's such a joy to watch how that God did not leave us out. Yes, he called the nation of Israel first and called them clearly and brought the Savior through the nation of Israel. Jesus was a Jew, an Israelite, and yet he sought to find us as well, and we are the other sheep. Please, that we praise God that we have become part of the flock, or can become part of the flock if we come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Now, as we look at these verses of Scripture, and again, listen to who he's talking to and talking about. And he's talking to the Jews, he's talking to the Gentiles, including the Gentiles anyway, not so much speaking to them, but including them. "I told you, you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." If we back up just a little bit now, and again, we're looking at, yes, to the nation of Israel, to the Jews, he has presented himself as Savior. Also now, he has opened the door and spoke of this other flock, the folks, the Gentiles, that they too will have the clear opportunity of salvation to come. And then he includes it, "And ye believe not because you're not my sheep." How do we become his sheep? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." How do you become a member, become part of the flock of God, become his sheep? He clearly says, "You are not my sheep. You're my goats," or goats. "You're not my sheep." Well, how do we become part of the fold, part of the flock, and become the sheep? It comes by faith in Jesus Christ. We read a week or so ago when we were together, John chapter 3. And I'm going to read that for you once again so that you can keep it right in your heart, right in your mind as we go through these verses of Scripture concerning the plucking you out of my hand and being my sheep or not my sheep. It's talking about what you have done in your heart in relationship to God. That's where it comes to. It's not your name. It's not what family you were born into, what church you were born into, what church you've been baptized in. It is the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. And that is a personal relationship. John chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Come by faith to Jesus. Don't just believe about him, but you must trust him in your heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You will not perish if you'll come by faith. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that promise is coming that you will be saved. That promise is here. So will you please listen to the call today and not be as these folks and ignore it? It's so important that you trust by faith in Jesus Christ. Because you see, once you have come by faith to Jesus, you are saved by believing. You're saved by coming to him and believing. And once you are saved, you're truly saved, you're kept. Now I say saved and truly saved, it's because there are so many out there today that believe that they're a part of the church, believe that they're saved. You ask them, you said, have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior? Yes, I have. I've said the words. The problem is the words came from the mouth, but not from the heart. And God knows that. God knows his sheep. You can't fake him out. Maybe you can fake everybody else out. But you will not and cannot lie to him nor fake him out as far as deceiving him in any way. You can deceive everybody else. You can put on that front and act that way and say the right things to where no one would ever imagine that you are not a believer in Jesus Christ. But God knows whether you are or are not. And I'm going to be very plain to you because you know as well. Oh, you need to come to Jesus Christ. Don't live a lie, but come by faith to Jesus and trust in him in your heart. It's a relationship you have with Jesus Christ. It's not just somebody that you know about. It's not the obedience of going through certain ordinances in the church and living this certain kind of life that makes you a Christian. No. What makes you a Christian, the word Christian is Christ-like. And so the only way we can be Christ-like is to first be born again, because there's no way that we can act that way. And I just said that some people will deceive you. They can deceive me. But that deception will have its end. It'll have its time that will come to an end. And that may be all the way to the death of that individual. But that deception will end. And then they will face the judgment. Instead of being covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, they will face the judgment by their works, and their works will be condemned as filthy rags, as the Word of God tells us. To come to Jesus Christ, to trust in the Lord Jesus, to understand these words, you must come by faith, and you're saved by his grace, not by your works. Now, if we're truly saved by his grace, by all of his doing, all we have to do is look at that precious gift that he has given us, salvation in him. And we just need to look to Jesus Christ and say, yes, I recognize I'm a sinner. And yes, I recognize that I need a Savior. And yes, I know that you are the Savior, your God. You have saved me. Come into my heart now. And he does. That's salvation through Jesus Christ. That's God's grace. That's God's saving power. That's not by works. So if we're saved by grace, what makes you ever believe that you could do something that would be good enough to keep that? If God clearly saves you by grace, by his unmerited love, we do not deserve that. It's something he gives us that we do not deserve. That's God's grace. He has shown us that love by giving his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, with God the Son saved us on the cross of Calvary. By God's, the Father's love sent His Son. By God the Son's love was obedient to the Father and gave His life for us. And all we have to do is come by faith. Okay. Are we together here? Are you with me this far that you're saved by grace? Now, a lot of people from this time on have a problem with saying that you are eternally saved. Once you come by faith to Jesus, you're saved. If you can't be saved by your good works, I just went through, it's by the grace of God. We know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that the Scripture says, whosoever confess, whosoever will come, come. Salvation is by grace, God's grace. What happens to the individual from the time they're saved till the time they die or Jesus comes and meets us in the air and the church is raptured? Whichever may come first. What happens during that time? Are we perfect? Never to do anything wrong, say anything wrong from the time we met Jesus Christ? Think if that would be someone that was very young. Maybe you were 15, 14, 15 years old, possibly younger. Maybe you were in your 20s when you were saved. That's how old I was when I was saved, when I came by faith to Jesus Christ. Can I stand today and proclaim to you that I have never done anything wrong or said anything wrong or made a mistake? I would be a liar to tell you that. Because yes, I have. Well then, at what point did I lose my salvation? You see, I never have had a work in my life that would get me salvation. It was by God's grace. And you know, there's not a work in my life that will keep my salvation. Nor is there a work that I can do that would cause me to lose my salvation. You know why? It's not because of me. I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that covering came upon me coming by faith to Jesus and accepting His grace, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When He died on that cross for me, He has taken every sin away that I have ever committed. And when I decided, by His calling, to surrender and believe that yes, He is Savior, yes, He is God, yes, He will take my sin away. When I trusted in Jesus Christ, I became one of the sheep. I hear His voice. I know His voice. I follow Him. And I, Jesus speaking, verse 28, give unto them, that make it personal, unto me eternal life. And he shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Wonderful. You see, the same salvation that's bought and paid for me, that same power and same strength keeps me. When God looks down from the heavens upon me, He sees no sin. Because you see, it's covered by the blood. Jesus took it all away. And when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He died for your sins too. But until you come by faith and trust in Him, whosoever, we have to take all the Word of God. Don't take just one verse of Scripture. We need to take all the Word. And the Word tells us repeatedly, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on Him with your mouth, with your heart, Begin that sweet relationship, that wonderful personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, well, Larry, this is just one scripture here that speaks of him that I give unto you eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Well, let's look at a couple other verses of scripture. Let's go back to John chapter 6. Because if you look at John chapter 6, we'll look from verse 39 and 40. John chapter 6. This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, Jesus is speaking, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. Not only are we promised to be kept, because whoever is given to the Son, and that given, Jesus died for all, and everyone has an opportunity to come by faith to Jesus. And everyone that truly comes by faith to Jesus, not just mouth service, not just something they say, but something they know in their heart because they have come by faith to Jesus and the Holy Spirit has come to live within them. You, if you've done that, you are a child of God. You will hear the voice of God. You will understand the Word of God, and you will walk with the Lord Jesus. Oh, there's not going to be a day that you're not going to say something or make a mistake or something like that, because we still live in the flesh. But you see, I'm not keeping me by my works. I could not save me by my works, and I cannot keep me by my works. Jesus bought and paid for me. He took all my sin away. And I can live a joyful life walking with Jesus from here to through eternity. It's going to be wonderful. You can have that same opportunity if you'll come through the Lord to the Lord Jesus. Let's look to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake ye are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see how it comes? It doesn't come by any other way, but it comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do we come to know Jesus Christ? So we can call him Lord by faith. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. Will you please come to Jesus today? Will you trust in him today? This is his living word, his perfect word. It's him. You see, to be a Christian is to know the person Jesus Christ. It's a relationship. It's not just somebody that lived years ago and we studied about him, and yes, I believe that he lived. He didn't just live, he lives. So will you come by faith to Jesus and trust in him? It's such a joy to follow after and go into the Word of God. We have one more section of Scripture that we'll go to, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. The next time we have an opportunity to be together. Please know, Jesus saves you. Only thing we need to do is believe. How easy can it be? Believe, confess, come to Jesus Christ and trust in him today. How wonderful it is to know that he saves us if we'll come, and that he keeps us. No man, no one, nothing can separate us from him. Because Jesus does the saving, He does the keeping. Got nothing to do with you or me, other than by us coming by faith to Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?